Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
So I'm going to continue on a little bit with this verse, number 5, that we stopped on. I'll just tell you in English, for the one who has woken up from a deep sleep state, that's the supta uttitasya, for the one who has woken up from the deep sleep state, smritihi bhavet, there is a memory. For the one who wakes up from the deep sleep state, there is a memory which is, what is the memory? It's the Bodha, the consciousness, or the, we could say tamas, tamo Bodha means tamas. It's the memory, it's the knowledge of ajnanam that belongs to the deep sleep, that takes place in the deep sleep. In other words, you have a recollection of the experience, the Bodha, in terms of experience, what you experienced in the deep sleep state, which was tamas. Tamas means ajnanam. And so then it says, now that memory, now we have to look at what smriti means in the second line. Memory is always what we call the... Let me do this. Memory has what they say is avabuddha vishaya. Smritihi is feminine. So... and sacha, and that memory is always an of a Buddha vishya. The vishya means there is something, some content, some object, something, you know, which was experienced. So when you have a memory of something, it's a memory of something that you had experienced or known before, you're not experiencing right now. But it refers to something that was experienced before. Here the of a Buddha is used as anubhuti, which just means something that's been experienced. And so in that, if we understand memory as that, then it is the tamas, right? It is the ajnanam then that was experienced at the time of deep sleep. But because it's only ajnanam, there's no subject-object relationship there, there's no nor-known relationship, you have to wait for the antakarana to wake up to recall that memory. Okay, so that's the position. We'll go into it a little bit more, but in terms of the next couple of verses. So people have, one of the main problems that people have with this understanding, so just trying to cover the doubts that are usually there, and then you can, you know, ask me more for the satsang. It's very hard for us to break away from the idea that consciousness itself is not a knower. Because then you'll think, when the deep sleep state is there, then consciousness should be aware of that. Right? Because it's illumining it after all, it should be aware of it. But consciousness isn't aware of anything but itself. consciousness is self-evident, self-luminous, but it doesn't have any karanas, any instruments, or including the mind and the sense organs, to bring about this knower-known dichotomy, differentiation that everyone has in any given vritti that you have, any thought modification, any experience that you have. Always the adhishtana, the reality, the truth of that thought modification, which is mitya, its truth is always satchit. But the vritti itself is something that may or may not reflect satchit. But if it's a vritti, the content of the vritti, I mean, may or may not reflect satchit. Like, for instance, what I mean is, the content of the vritti, if I'm looking again at the wall, the content of this vritti through my sense organs, through my eyes, forms a vritti that has the content of whatever I'm seeing right in front of me. That's the content, right? But this content, whatever it may be, is illumined by consciousness. Not because consciousness is performing an act of illumination, but because consciousness is swaprakasha, it's self-evident, it's self-shining, kind of like the sun. The sun is, we don't consider the sun as doing you a favor by shining on you to light you up. It is itself swaprakasha, it's self-shining, so everything in its wakes gets lit up because of its nature. And so like that, in any vritti that you have, the content is lit up because the adhishtana of that vritti, of that mitya vritti, is consciousness. So the consciousness is as much enjoyed or is as much present in the vritti as are all the contents of the vritti. But as I said, the idea that because the vritti is known, you are a knower, is the ahankara. That's part of the problem. But it's a huge part of the problem, because it's hard for me to even imagine me as not being a knower. Because the opposite of being a knower is, in a sense, to be inert or to be the object known. And so to think of myself as just pure satchit. So now I'm dividing these. It's an important little division here. Satchit, chit is just being. Okay? Satchit, chit is consciousness. So consciousness and being are one and the same. There's not sat over here and chit over here. It's consciousness is being. Being is consciousness. Both are both. There's no both, but in any sense to divide them up. Both are non-objectifiable, right? There's nothing to stop consciousness from being free of time, because consciousness is not an object of your awareness. The awareness is the one because of which everything is illumined, but consciousness is not an object to be illumined itself in terms of any kind of subject-object relationship, which means that consciousness, you, your being, is not an object in the creation to come in, be able to come into being and go out of being, to be differentiated from other things. And so consciousness itself is timeless, right? Because it doesn't exist as an object within time. That's why. It's not a big deal. It's timeless because it's not an object within time and space to be affected by time. You know, it's like saying my consciousness, when I have a dream, you know, doesn't come and go with the dream. I mean, that's a no-brainer. How could it come and go with the dream? Because it's not an object in the dream, nor is it the dream itself. Since the dream comes and goes, consciousness remains the same. That means consciousness has nothing to do with the time and space within the dream. The time and space within the dream belong only to the dream. And like that, the time and space within this creation belongs only to the creation. I am the adhishtana of the creation. I'm not jumping into the creation and participating in it. So now if you start thinking like that, who has, in terms of our experience, just as a jiva, we'll look at Ishvara later, but just as a jiva, this body, mind, sense organs here, what gives me my knowership? What allows me to be a knower? Well, I would say, first off, the sense organs allow me to be a knower of the world. And just to make that painfully... recognize the truth of it, if you just mentally try to get rid of one sense organ at a time. You know? You get rid of your... First, we'll start with the ears. You get rid of your ears, your sense of hearing, and shabda, all sound is now denied you because you don't have ears to hear the sound. And so in reference to sound, without your ears, you are no longer a knower. You're not a hearer, right? Knower stands for all of these things. So you're not a hearer. You're not a knower in reference to sound. Get rid of your sense of touch, you know? And then you have no... like I told you about my friend, the only reason this lower part of his body is attached to him is because he can see it. He can't feel it. So if he shuts his eyes, his form stops right here, you know? Because no sense of touch. So if you're denied the sense of touch, what if I'm going like this? This is actually a problem for people who lose certain sense of touch, or if they get, you know, what do you call it? There's appendages that are attached if you were to lose your arm or something like that. They don't have a sense of touch, so they don't know how hard to push. Like, if I want to pick this up. So often when they pick something up, they just crush it. It takes a lot of... Because they don't have a sense of touch. So without the sense of touch, that type of knowership is not there for you. So then what about the sense of sight? You can just experience that easily by closing your eyes. You know, but even then, if you close your eyes, you can at least see the reflection of light through the eyelids. You can tell if it's really dark out or if it's light out. You know, you can still see. But if you have no, if your eyes are really non-functional, even that sense of day is not there. Day or night is not there. You know. And of course, as you lose each one, take each one of these away, it's not just this world that you're taking away, the nourishment of the world, it's the nourishment of this body itself. So now, say you take away the sense of taste, then everything tastes the same. You know, you are able to differentiate, you differentiate foods by their texture. And if you take away the sense of smell, then that's also denied to you. So where is there any knowership without, just from the standpoint of the sense organs, where is there any knowership, you know, subject to object, this type of knowership, of any type of sensory perception without the sense organs? So those sense organs are very important for your commerce in the world, your activity in the world, because so much knowership is given to you through those sense organs, right? And now say if you go inward, we've even said before, say you have all your sense organs are functioning well, but you just can't stop daydreaming. Mm-hmm. So then again, you have no perceptions. Anyway, the sense organs need to be utilized by the mind in order for you to be a knower. And what about the mind? You know, what if in deep sleep, for instance, the mind is not functioning? What about in the dream state when the mind is functioning only within itself but not using the sense organs? Then you have no experience of the sensory, the waking state. You only have experience of the mind itself. Right? But what if the mind is, say, in a meditative state? Let's forget about dream for now. It's just in a meditative state where you're turning your attention solely to your own being, you know? Without the mind, or without the functioning mind, there are no thoughts. So now you're not the thinker. The mind is in deep sleep. Say you're not the thinker. You're not the one who has emotions. You're not happy or sad or frustrated or agitated. You know, you're not smart or stupid. You don't have any concepts, knower known concepts at all. You know, the dream state and the knower known concepts that are taking, you know, realities that are taking place within the dream state are not there. The knower known types of functioning that we have in the waking state is simply not there. Because those instruments are in unmanifest condition or something wrong and they're not functioning on a physical level. They're broken. You know? So then those types of things, that type of nourishment is not functioning for you. So when we are so attached to ourself as being a knower, it means really you're very attached naturally until you have self-knowledge. That attachment is very thorough. You're attached to the instruments of knowing and totally identified with those as yourself. You take them totally for granted. So I'm a conscious being, and a conscious being is a knower, experiencer, feeler. But actually all of those things belong to the upadhi. The self, from your own standpoint, you're not a knower or a feeler or a seer or a hearer. You're also not this body, you're not the mind, you're not the sense organs. You're none of these upadhis that exist, you know, within the duality of this creation. Now, that seems to initially make a difference to us. But when you think about it in terms of the dream, say you're having a dream, and then, of course, from the standpoint of the dream character, of course they think of themselves as a knower and a doer and a seer and a hearer and as a conscious being who is all of these things, right? But from the standpoint of Ishvara, or from the standpoint of your being, if your being had a voice and were to ask, are you a knower?
Are you a knower?
we can ask that, and then the buddhi will answer for us. But yourself would just say, no, I'm not. I'm just me. I am just a conscious being. I'm the conscious being. I'm the Satchit, you know, which is the one from whom this whole dream with all of these different things come from, including knowership and doership and seership and the one who has all of the emotions, all of this. This all belongs to my Maya. This is Maya, you know, and it's wonderful and it's beautiful, and as long as we have a body, we have all of these different capacities, but they are not fundamental to me, nor do I need them in any way to be whole and complete. Like, imagine the self that's having the dream, or you're having the imagination, crying because I'm not able to see. The dream characters are able to see, but I can't see. I can't hear. You don't have any such thought. You don't have any such thought because that all belongs to Maya from your stand, from your position. Your being is whole and complete. You are the very ananda which everything in the creation is running after, looking for. And so, in fact, that's why moksha is moksha. You recognize that everything that I'm trying to wring out of this creation, all of the stability, all of the well-being, all of the wholeness, all of the love, all of the being loved, of being strong. Strong means, like when we did that meditation this morning, where after just turning toward yourself and even invoking that Ishtadevata as your being, when you just sit with that, you realize the tremendous strength, not like muscles, you know, but the solidity, the stability, the unwavering nature that the whole universe can't change. So your being is so grounded, it's so strong, you know, and can be present in my own nature to anything without losing my nature, who I am. My being blesses everything, the good and the bad. But when the bad or the hard or the painful or the difficult are rising up within the creation, if the creation is tumultuous, you know, myself doesn't feel overwhelmed. Myself is so. Yourself cannot be overwhelmed. It always remains exactly the same. Because this, all of this, is mitya anyway. It's mitya. And so it has no way to really touch me. But from my, because just like the snake isn't touching the rope, or the pot certainly is not touching the clay, you know, that's what we mean by mitya. So all of this mitya does not touch my nature in any way, and yet the whole thing is a display of my, it's a display, it's my display, it's my manifestation, but it's a different order of reality, so it doesn't touch me in any way. Sometimes when we do that imagination where you imagine, how would you handle this difficult situation from when you are just being yourself? When you're being in the Ishta Devata form of you. I like to say that. Mm-hmm. The Ishta Devata form of you. This body, mind, sense organs is the Ishta Devata because it is just an expression of Brahman, of the self, without the Jiva Srishti. And so when we imagine ourselves just being an expression of myself, and you imagine, how would you be in that really difficult environment, that really difficult relationship, then everything changes. You know? You become an Ishta Devata, and all is well. It's no problem. Why? Because the nature of the self is already complete and full. It doesn't require even the universe. So now, this understanding of me, who I actually am, has to be clear that I am whole and complete, and no, I am not a knower. Ishwara is not a knower from the standpoint of Brahman. The Maya Upadhi has to be up for the Maya Upadhi to be known, the whole infinite creation, manifestation of the creation. That has to be there for it to be known. Sattva. Otherwise, I simply am. And for Ishwara, what is important is me, just my being. Yeah? And all of this is a display of me. It can be there or not be there. That was Ramana's huge awakening when he actually got knowledge, because he just loved to be with himself, and it hadn't dawned on him that whether his eyes are open or closed, it doesn't make any difference. So he just stayed in meditation for 8 or 9 years, you know. Because there's nothing, that's the Parama Prema Surupa, that's the, there is no greater ananda or fullness or lovedness than that. And so he'd just stay there. And then it dawned on him, some pundits talked to him, you know, he just knew exactly what they were talking about as they said it. But some things were revelatory to him, and one was, and he just, you know, you just say, like, open your eyes, okay, I'm still here, nothing's happened. Close your eyes, I'm still here, nothing's happened. Open, close. Nothing happens. Yeah. That is yourself. Okay, so now, when these vrittis, when you go into deep sleep, the mind that is responsible for this flow of vrittis is not functioning. It's resting. Bhagwan gave us this lazy man samadhi, really. It just brings in, takes the whole mind and the sense organs and all the emotions and all of the moods and everything. And he just must have decided, talking facetiously, he must have, you know, for them to go through all this, they need to rest. They need to have a good rest. You know? So what we're going to do is that every night when it's time to go to sleep, we will just withdraw all the experiences so you can just be with yourself. Without, just there's a big jnana vritti there, you know, all ignorance there, that tamo bodha, just the experience of, oh, I don't know anything, without anybody even saying that. Because that would be confusing. Whole universe goes into unmanifest condition and you're saying, where's everybody? But no, the ahankara also goes into that unmanifest condition, right? The whole mind. And so now you, as you are, as you always are, because free of time and space and the adhishtana of everything, so just your ananda, that swarupa ananda, as we'll see in the next verse, next few verses, you just simply are. And the mind is now, the vritti form of the mind is called an eti sukshma vritti. It's the most subtle vritti because there's no content, no extrovert content in terms of any nama rupa, right? So it's just in causal condition. It is illumined by its adhishtana, which is the satchit atma, which is awareness. And now when this vritti comes out of causal condition, it has a memory of that causal condition. Which is, we the Shastra says, how to talk about that. Well, and that, this is our memory. Well, and when I'm in deep sleep, I don't know anything. You know? And I, I slept very well. Sukhama swapsam, I slept happily. I set foot for you. That is just a description of this deep sleep state, which when the mind is in unmanifest condition, it can't talk about. Right? Because that see or seen, hear or heard, the ahankara, all of that is not awake at that time. And so you have to have a memory of that experience. And in the commentary, the commentator says at the end, trying to explain all of this, he says, it's just like saying, say your mother's coming along, oh, this is my mother. That's a memory. How do you know she's your mother? This is my mother. You see the woman there, you don't know she's your mother. You have a memory that of your mother. And you need to have that prior experience to put mother and person together. It's a memory. So what about now? You wake up, and then you have a memory of the prior experience, what was happening when you were asleep. It's a memory. You say, oh, I slept really, really well. I didn't know one thing. Right? No subject-object relationship. I'm just released from all of the dukkha in the world. Wonderful. Bhagavan gave that to us and wanted to make sure there was no subject-object relationship at that time, that we could actually get away from all of that and just relax. So that's this verse. Now, the situation is, we'll do this next verse, then I'll say what the situation is. Do you want to read the next two?
Sabodho vishaya binnaha
Nabodha
svapna bodhavat
Evan sthanat sthanat traye pyeka
Evan sthanat traye pyeka
Sambit-tad-vad-vinantare.
Let's do the next one too.
There
is,
it says bit, but it's
but. Did you do the other one?
Yeah.
The O?
Huh?
There's two typos,
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Two typos.
Yeah.
Masa vayu gat kalpeshu.
Masa dayu gat kalpeshu.
Masa dayu gat kalpeshu.
Masa dayu gat kalpeshu. Gatha gamyeshvane kada No deti nastame dyekha Sambhityesha
swayam prabha
Sa bodhaha Vishayat. You should have there in this next word binno. There should be that instead of binna, it should be binno. Okay? And that binno is going to break the sun it was Sunday into binnaha. Okay? So binno na bodhat swapna bodhavat. Everybody see it? I corrected it, so we'll do another print out at some point of a bad page. This page that has these typos. So then, masa, oh no, evam,
evam,
stana
treye,
pieka,
pieka,
api eka,
api eka,
samvit,
samvit,
tadvat,
tadvat.
It's got an extra V there. It should be tad, T-A-D-V-I-T. Tadvid, actually. But if I break the Sunday, Tadvat. There should be Tadvat. Tadvat. Then Dinantare. So Tad, T-A-D-V-A-T. Then Dinantare. Tadvat. Then Dinantare. Okay. So here, this is bringing the deep sleep state back into the waking dream deep sleep that we're working on, showing that the samvit means consciousness, that your consciousness, you know, is the adhishtana, is something your being doesn't go into any sort of change. So as you go through these states, which all of which negate each other. So here it says, sabodaha, that consciousness, here bodhate consciousness, sabodaha, that consciousness, that means that consciousness in the deep sleep state, vishaya binnaha, is different, binnaha, it is different from the vishaya, from the thing that one is conscious of. In this case, for deep sleep, it's tamas. So the consciousness, because of which consciousness, which is there in the deep sleep state, that is different from the object of consciousness here, which would be just the ajnanam, pure ajnanam. But it says, na bodhat. But it's not different from itself. So consciousness has a subject-object, in a sense, relationship. Consciousness is the illuminary, and the object of consciousness is the illumined. Right? I didn't say knower. Right? Consciousness, the consciousness because of which the tamogun, the tamas is known, the ajnanam is known, that consciousness doesn't differ from another consciousness. There are not two consciousnesses. It's just one consciousness that is the one that illumines that object of consciousness. So he gives an example. He says, swapna bodhavat, like the consciousness that is there in the dream, right? And in the waking, we'll see that. So the consciousness because of which the dream is known is only one. There can be all kinds of activity in the dream, and the activity and the objects in the dream all are different from each other, right? And different from the consciousness, but there is not two consciousnesses for one to be different from the other. So the consciousness, not being an object of the dream, you know, being something that is free of time and space, there can't be two. So I am the one who is conscious of the dream, and like that, I am the one that illumines the ajnanam, the ignorance in the deep sleep state. So there's difference between me, the conscious being, and the ignorance illumined in the deep sleep state. There's a difference between me and that, but there is no difference between me and another, a second consciousness. So here we can say, to expand on this, in the next line he says, evam, in this manner, stana traye api eka sambit. In this manner, stana, in the three stanams, waking, dream, and deep sleep state. Traye means this group of three. So he says, so in this manner, stana traye api eka. In this manner, in all three of these states of experience, waking, dream, and deep sleep, eka samvit, there is only one consciousness. The waker is the dreamer, is the deep sleeper. Even though these three states of experience totally negate each other, still, the one who is the waker is the one who is the dreamer, is the one who is the deep sleeper. See what I mean? Consciousness doesn't have its own, we don't have a unique waker consciousness. And then another consciousness for the dream state. And then another consciousness for the deep sleep state. This seems like it should be obvious, because in our language we just naturally accept that I am the one who has all of these three states of experience. It's like we don't really have to be told that. But we do have to recognize is that everything that I take to be myself in the waking state is replaced, negated by the dream state. And everything in the waking state and the dream state, which I identify with, is totally negated, including knowership, in the deep sleep state. The only thing that is not negated in those three states of experience is me, the conscious being, who is present to all three. And since that conscious being that is present to all three states is me, then I have no problem with the rest of everything else being totally negated. That, because that's not ever, has never been me, so I don't experience anything wrong. Like, you would think you'd experience something terribly wrong. You're having the, you're here in the waking state, and here I am in the waking state. And then I go to sleep, and then this dream comes, and all of a sudden there's this other person in the dream that I've now become. And I'm in another whole world, all different relationships, all of these different things. That seems like it should throw me off a little bit. And then going into the deep sleep, there's nothing there. That should throw me off. Don't you think that would be kind of disturbing? But, you know, it's not disturbing. Because nothing happens. You know, mithya has no being of its own. To be, had to have its presence or absence disturb me in any way. Because I remain absolutely myself, completely untouched, completely unruffled, just as I am. There's no like, you know, here you are in the waking state and there's this dream. There's nothing. There's nothing happens. Deep sleep? Deep sleep, we all look forward to it. We don't really know why we look forward to it. You know, why would I look forward to blotting out the whole creation, including my body, mind, sense organs, all of my thoughts and all of my relationships? Bam, gone. We can't wait to go to bed. I mean, Swamiji, it does so many stories about how nice it is to have, okay, a good mattress. The mattress is very important. And then it should, for some people, there should be a certain level of darkness. So I can really, you know, not be disturbed at all, level of darkness. And we should have good sheets and good pillows and good comforter. And all of these things. And we should have more than one pillow because they have to be arranged properly. All of these things, you know. So if we can do what? Just get rid of the whole creation and get rid of my body, mind, sense organs. And, no. Just get to have a few hours of deep shanti. You know, the deep sleep is important. We don't like it when we can't sleep. It's not a good thing. Right? We need to be able to blot out everything except me. I never blot out myself. It can never be blotted out in any way. I just remain without these experiences, that's all. And so here he says, you know, it's in all three states of experience, I, the one self, the me, simply remains as really as the adhishtana, as the me, the self of every single one of those experiences, even though they completely negate everything and they negate every upadi that I've ever, every conditioning adjunct that I've ever had any identification with. It is not me. And it doesn't bother me at all because it's never been me at any time, so there's no loss whatsoever. And because mithya has no being apart from me, I am what is actually there. And so you can't miss something when nothing has happened to it. It would be different if mithya, or the creation, had some substance, you know, some substance that was you, but gets blotted out, you know, when you pass through these states. But mithya is mithya. Mithya means you are the substance. You are the reality. Completely, like the clay is the complete reality of the pot, to the point that there really is no pot. There's really only clay. And I am the complete reality of this creation, to the point that really there's only me. And so that's why in the presence or absence in whatever form, displacement, nothing is happening. Because what is there really is only myself. So now you might think that they bring up a little objection here. Yeah, well, this waking dreams, the waking dream deep sleep is only accounting for one day. So in one day, one consciousness per day. So this consciousness is there, and it is the self of the waking dream deep sleep for this one day. But then what about the next day? Okay, is that another consciousness? It's kind of a corny objection, but anyway, we have to do all of them. So it says, so what he says is that some bit, this consciousness, which is myself, right, is there, is one alone there in these three states, waking, dream, deep sleep. And then he says, dinantare, and in the next day also. Dina means a day, antare. So you say in other days also, not just this day. In all the other days also, the waking dream, deep sleep, waking dream, deep sleep, waking dream, deep sleep, waking dream, deep sleep. In all these other days, I am the one changeless Adishtana conscious being that is the self of all of those experiences. So then the question could come in, yeah, but those are only days. Those are only days. So he says, next verse, masa means a month. Abda, so masa. I'll let you just repeat after me. Masa.
Masa.
Abda.
Abda.
Yuga.
Yuga.
Kalpeshu.
Kalpeshu.
Gata.
Gata.
Actually, it's gata.
Gata.
Agamya. Agamya.
Agamya.
Agamyeshu.
Agamyeshu.
Anekada.
Anekada.
Na udeti.
Na udeti.
Na astam.
Na astam.
Does yours have an iti or an eti?
Not
iti. Iti. It should be iti, right?
Yeah. Eti, but it's any sandhi, eti.
No, but that would be...
Astama.
No deti. Na astameti. Okay. Na astameti. Na astameti. Eka.
Eka.
Samvit.
Samvit.
Esha.
Esha.
Swayam Prabha.
Swayam Prabha.
So now he's kind of winding up the last of the possibilities. So you could say in other days, but also in other months, masa, abda, years, in all the other years, yugas, in all of the cycles, the four cycles that go for millions of years, if we go through all of the four cycles. And then in the kalpas also. So say you go through the four yugas, like the Satya Yuga is so long, I have to get the numbers for you, that way, way into the millions. And so you've got the Satya Yuga, and then a little shorter is the Treta Yuga, then the Dwapara Yuga, and then the Krita Yuga, these four Kali Yuga. So these four yugas make up millions and millions of years. So a yuga means one manifestation and resolution. So in all of these kalpas that each contains four yugas, we're looking at millions upon millions of years. In all of those, and those kalpas are endless, beginningless. In the kalpas also, I am the same. So in the waking dream and deep sleep, I am the same. In one day, in another day, in all days. But not only in all days do I remain the same, in all of the years also, in all of the months, and the months, and in the years, and in the yugas, and in the kalpas. And then he makes it more, he says, gata, in what has gone by, in the past, all of the yugas and kalpas that have gone by. And then agamya means really agami. In my footnotes they say, a lot of times they say agami, that has a more clear meaning, but it means in the future. So all the ones that are to come, all the kalpas to come, all of the kalpas in the past, and all time itself, I am the Samvit, the one non-dual conscious being that is the Adishtana of all time, all imaginable time, all imaginable change. That means that this me is the one from whom time and space come from. So it doesn't matter how long the manifestation is, how many yugas and kalpas you go through, none of them touch me in any way. I have nothing to do with time. I am the constant presence of all experience, not bound by time. Then he says, and so that being the case, being the very conscious being who illumines time and space itself, then na udeti, na astameti. For me, there is no rising. There is no coming into being. Like when you use the sun rises and the sun sets. as though the sun is born and the sun dies, no, experientially. For me, there is no rising nor setting. Means for me, there is no birth, nor is there any death. There's no coming into being, there's no going out of being. I am free from time. That means the being that I am is the being that I am. I'm not subject to time, anything that goes on within time and space where there's continual change. I am completely free of that. So now, so he says, Evam, so he says, na udeti na stameti, eka, I am one in all these, so I don't rise or set. Samvit esha, what is that one? This consciousness, which is myself. And this consciousness is Swayam Prabha. It, because of this, it is self-evident. It is self-luminous. Because it is consciousness. And there is no other consciousness to light it up. And if there were, that would really go into an infinite regress. Okay, this consciousness that I am, that is free of time and space itself, but is consciousness. So this consciousness, being free of time and space, where is it getting its consciousness? Oh, from another consciousness. But when you're free of time and space, there's no place for there to be another consciousness. Because it just get rid of space. If you have space, we could say, okay, we have this sun for this planet, and this sun, every star is a sun. So there's all these consciousnesses that are lighting up their Earth. There's all these suns lighting up Earth. But this sun is over here, and this sun is over here, and this sun is over here. It's space. Where is there room for you? You're not an object of time and space. You're the very adhishtana. You're the very set chit, the existence, the being, the consciousness, which illumines the whole thing. So for you, there's no place for there to be a second consciousness, which means that you are the consciousness. You are the luminary. There's nothing to light you up, nor does it, do you need anything to light you up, because you yourself are the source. It's like saying, well, you're the sun. The sun needs another sun to be close enough to it to shine upon it so that it can enjoy that luminosity. Well, we have the moon for that. The moon isn't self-evident. The moon requires the sun, the light of the sun, to light it up so that we can enjoy it. All of the planets require that too, but they're not, they don't enjoy luminosity. You know? The sun enjoys luminosity, and so it doesn't require a second luminosity to come and make it luminous. It is that. And like that, I am conscious being. That's what I am. I am the consciousness because of which everything is known. And because of which I am known. Because of which I am known. Because when I say that, not known as an object, but me, this consciousness, is its own self-experience. Without any subject-object necessity. It is its own luminosity. That's why, you know, when we do sometimes as a viveka, we say in terms of it being known, if I say like this wall is known to me, then you are all known. You are known to me. This body is known through my sense organs. My sense organs are known. Say, yes, I'm aware of my sense organs. My thoughts are known. My mind is known. Yeah. My emotions are known. Yeah. The ahankara is known. Yes. Time is known. Yes. Space is known. Yes. You eliminate every possibility. You know, we could go on for hours and hours, but let's say everything that can be objectified. Yes, that is known. And then you have to say, yes, and I am known. What if everything is known except for me? There's no self-experience. What would that mean? That's inconceivable. You know? And the whole teaching that would be inconceivable, we do this neti neti, not this, not this, you know this, you know this, you know this, and you know this. Now everything is known, but there's nothing else. So where am I in all of that? And that's not my experience. My experience is, yeah, all of these things are known, and then I'm left with me. But if I am left with me, then I'm not left with something that isn't known. I'm left with me, the one who is its own self-experience, its consciousness. I don't need anything else I am the Adhishthana of everything else, in fact. We don't need two consciousnesses, nor do we have two consciousnesses. To even have two consciousnesses, we have to be talking about upadis, the sattva, the mind and sense organs that belong to the dream, or they belong to the imagination, or they belong to this world. But for myself, they're not two consciousnesses. There's only me, so it says. And this consciousness itself never rises and sets, because it is not an object that exists in the waking, dream, or deep sleep state. In the waking and dream and deep sleep, the sun itself is negated. You have no experience of the sun. In deep sleep, there's no experience of the sun. In the dream state, if it's daylight, then you have an experience of the dream sun, which is different than in the waking state, your experience of the waking sun. The dream, the waking night is different than the dream night. And in the deep sleep state, there is no night, nor is there any sun. These are all Maya. They're part of this incredible creation, you know, that is natural to Brahman. This is Brahman's, what do you call it? Kaleidoscope or infinite mandala, you know, the wonder of the one who is non-dual. This is the wonder, the mithya wonder of the one who is non-dual, of my own self. And so, having said all of these things, Swayam Prabha, this conscious being is its own light. It doesn't require another conscious being to come in and light it up. Om Tat Sat. Next group is Satchit Ananda. That'll be nice.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Rupyo Namaha. Harihi Om.